All right, well, everybody should be rested up plenty good for us finishing up our seasons of parenting. Hopefully you enjoyed an extra hours of sleep last night. Well, we're going to wrap this up. We've been talking for the last 3 weeks about the seasons of parenting, and we've been looking at this going, hey, as parents, we have a responsibility. And what our responsibility is we have a role, and our role is to lead our children to become successful. And that we need to lead them to become successful where they would be independent from us, but they would be totally dependent upon God. That as they grow up, that they would lose their dependency on us, but they would increase their dependency upon God. And as we've done this, we started out through looking at these through different seasons. We started with this pre-season parenting, the season in life before you ever become a parent, that you have an opportunity to begin to think about and look ahead and go, what should parenting look like? What would I do when I become a parent? And so we looked at these 10 myths of parenting, and we just unpacked those. Then we entered into this regular season of parenting, and we brought in a guest. Dr. Walker Moore came in, and he taught us that week during the regular season, and he shared with us these four essentials to equip our kids for life. And with these four essentials, what Walker focused on is he focused on how we need to look at what our relationship with God looks like and how we would work through these different aspects of that relationship, how we would live that out. And as we live that out, how we get to show that and model that to our kids while they're in our home, while we're raising them. Last week, we looked at the playbook and we looked at that things and said, hey, what is the playbook for this post-season parenting? How is it that things need to change? What needs to transition as we move from parenting our kids all the way through their school years, and now they finish, they graduate from high school, and yet we still have some influence with them. They're still depending on us. They're still looking to us. And so what do we do during this short season that is this post-season? And today we're going to wrap this up talking about off-season parenting. Now here's the thing that I love about this particular talk. Is I think that this is a particular talk that relates to almost everybody in the room. That when we look at this whole idea from preseason parenting, if you're done having kids, you're like, I'm never going to have kids again. You're like going, hey, that doesn't do me any good. I'm done with that. If you're somebody that you've already raised your kids and they're out of the house and you're going, hey, this regular season, that really doesn't help me any. I'm done with that. And when it comes to postseason, if your kids are adult children that are grown and out on their own, you're like going, yeah, that really didn't help me much either. Too little, too late. But all of us, if we're ever going to parent, that we should be looking at this going, hey, I'm going to get to the stage in life where my kids are going to be out there, they're going to be on their own, they're going to be adults, and they're going to be functioning on their own, and they're going to be independent from me. And so this is something that for all of us, I think it hits almost everybody in the room that this is going to apply to. And so when we think about parenting, the one thing that we looked at from the very first week was we looked at this idea of that we want our kids to be honor students. Not talking about their academics in school, but we're talking about their behaviors and their actions in life. That we looked at this fifth commandment of God's 10 commandments. We looked at this fifth commandment that says, honor your father and mother. And that we have a responsibility as parents to help our kids to where they're going to want to choose to honor us. And so we've got to do this. So we got to live our life and do our parenting in such a way that we're setting them up to where they're going to choose to honor us. So parenting has these seasons, has all these seasons, these four seasons of parenting. And I want us to just kind of take a quick glimpse at this most polarizing figure that we can find in our New Testament. And it's Jesus. It's the Son of God. And as we look at Jesus and who he is, then what we get to see is we get to see that this is somebody that had parents that were raising him. Yes, God is his heavenly father. And God is very unique in his father role to Jesus compared to his father role to us. And so when we look at this, it's going to be a little bit different. But as we walk through the seasons, when I think about the pre-season parenting for Mary and Joseph, that it looked a little something like this. That they were engaged. We don't know how long they had been engaged. And they weren't living together. They weren't sexually active. That they were engaged and they knew that they were going to be wed one day. Probably hadn't put much thought into parenting. And then Mary gets the news by an angel that shows up to her and says, Mary, you're going to be blessed among all women because you're going to be the one that gets to carry the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ. You're going to bring that child, the chosen one, into the world. You are going to give birth to the Son of God. That God is going to plant this inside of you, and you're going to bring this child into the world. And without warning, boom, she is going to be a parent. Now Joseph hears from Mary. Mary hears this news, and she just begins to praise God. Mary tells Joseph, and he begins to question God. God, I'm not really sure how she's got a child, you know, and I don't know about her faithfulness now, and, you know, we haven't done anything, so I don't know. Why should I? I think I'm just going to kind of leave her and dismiss her, and I'm just going to go away quietly. But see, God revealed to Joseph that she is going to have a child, and not just a child, but she's going to have his child. And it was only through that reveal that Joseph believed that this is the Son of God. And so in their preseason parenting, it is, hey, you guys are going to bring in life, and it's great, and it's going to be exciting. I mean, you know, when we think about parenting, anybody in this room who's a parent, you can testify to the amount of pressure that comes with being a parent. It is a lot of pressure. That when you think about being a parent, this pressure that comes on you going, man, I really hope I don't screw up my kids. I mean, we do. We have this pressure. We hope that we don't do something that's going to damage them for life. We hope that we don't set them off on the wrong path. And we feel all this pressure. Could you imagine the pressure that Mary and Joseph felt? You're going to bring in the Christ child. You're going to raise him. And he has to be perfect. He can never sin for what he has to do as he accomplishes his purpose for coming to earth. So good luck. Wow. You talk about pressure in parenting. And then when we look at the regular season of parenting for them, we get a few little snapshots. We get that they get to start out with this humble beginning of giving birth to a child in a stable, in a manger. And they literally lay him in a manger for his crib, this feeding trough. And kind of, well, that's kind of nice to start out, the Savior of the world, like that. And then the next thing that we get to find out about them is that they're being told when Jesus is about 2 years old, they're being told, you've got to flee and you've got to head to Egypt because King Herod is after Jesus. He wants to kill him. And he wants to kill him because the word is out that there is the King of Kings that has been born. And Herod's going, I want to be the greatest king. I don't want any threats. And so he goes around and he starts killing all of these male babies in this region. And so they're told to just flee and go to Egypt until I tell you, you can come back. And they didn't get to come back until after Herod was dead. The next thing that we get to see when it comes to this regular season of parenting is when Jesus is 12 years old. And when he's 12 years old, they had made their annual trip to Jerusalem. Because here in Jerusalem, what they would do is they would go to the temple. There was only one temple, this one place where you would go and you would worship God because that was the one place where his presence was. And so you would go there and you would worship him once a year and then you would go back to your homeland. And so they had gone and they had made this trek and they travel in this caravan and then after that time is over, they head back. And they've been traveling all day and they haven't seen Jesus. But they're just assuming that Jesus has just been hanging out with some of the other boys, some of the other kids, and, you know, they'll see him at supper time when they wind down for the evening. Well, supper time came, and they start putting everything together, and they're looking around, and Jesus never shows up. They're asking around, you seen Jesus? You seen Jesus? They lost Jesus. Can you imagine the pressure? You're the parent. You're supposed to be responsible. You've got to bring him up. You've got to raise him up, and he's ultimately going to have to give his life as a sacrifice to save the people. And you lost them. I mean, those of us that are parents, we can probably all relate to a time when we've lost our kid. And we lost them for 2 minutes, maybe three, maybe as much as 7 minutes, but not really long extended periods of time. Most of us, maybe even all of us, have never experienced that. He was lost for 3 days. That night, when they realized he wasn't there, they said, well, we got to go back to Jerusalem. So they head back to Jerusalem, and they're looking all over for him. On the third day, guess where they found him? In the temple. that he was there in the temple and he was asking questions of these religious leaders and just having this dialogue with them. And the religious leaders were just amazed by how much he knew and all the things that he understood. I don't know what you do when you're that parent and you've got Jesus and what were you thinking? What are you doing in the temple? What do you do? He's like, oh, Jesus, it's good to see you in the temple. Oh, well, son, let's go now. I don't know how you handle that when you're raising the Savior of the world. But here they are. They're in this regular season of parenting, and that's all we get to see for that. And then when it comes to this postseason, this time where he would now be an adult and yet there's this transition, we don't get to see anything. There's nothing in our New Testament that we can read about this. But then when it gets to this off-season parenting, there are several things that we can look at, we can see this interaction. We're going to take the time to look at one of these this morning. And the one we're going to look at is found in the book of John. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, the next day that there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. Now, I find this pretty interesting. Because, you know, I get it that Mary's there, there's a wedding, hey, let's go to the celebration. But Jesus and his disciples, who were all males, they got invited too. I don't know if that invitation was really a good thing. You know, men, how many of you guys really look forward to going to a wedding when your wife or your significant other says, hey, I'm going to go to this wedding, you want to come? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. There's probably about 7 of you in the room, but you're not willing to admit it. Because, you know, all these eyes will be looking at you like, what, you like going to weddings? You know, because us guys, we're just like going, I don't want to go to a wedding. Why would I want to go? If it's my wedding, sure, I'll go. But other than that, no, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in going to a wedding. And you know what? We get it easy, guys. Because, see, when we're invited to go to a wedding, to go to a celebration, guess what? It's only one day. But in their culture, it was a week long. That you for you to go and show back up and show back, and I'm here again. And for you to just keep coming, okay, yeah, you're really special, really love you, wish you the best, I'll see you tomorrow. Just keep hanging out. Well, they're at this wedding. And so this is what we get to see, verse 3, it says, the wine supply ran out during the festivities. Well, duh, it lasted for a week, no wonder you run out, right? So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Now, I think when she told him, it wasn't because she was convinced that he had no knowledge and that he wouldn't know. But I think she had a different reason. In fact, we get to see what his response is. Dear woman, that's not our problem. Says Jesus replied, and then it says, my time has not yet come. See, Jesus, we've not seen any evidence of him being able to do miracles up to this point. And yet here he is, and here's Mary, and Mary can see something in him. She knows what he's capable of. And his mama, she comes up to him and she says, hey, there's no more wine. And that's all she has to say for him to know what she wants him to do. And so he tells her, dear woman, that's not our problem. And my time hasn't come. I'm not supposed to do anything to reveal who I am yet. And I don't want anybody to see this yet. My time hasn't come. And so then we get to see how Mary responds to this. Verse 5. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. See, here's Mary. And what Mary knows is this. Mary knows that she's raised Jesus in such a way that Jesus is going to honor her. That she's raised an honor student. And she's already brought to his attention, here's an issue, here's a problem. The wine has run out. And he said, hey, it's not my problem. It's not even our problem. My time hasn't come. And so in that subtle way that only a mom could do, she looks to those servants and says, do whatever he tasks you to do. Letting him know, yeah, I know you're going to honor me. You see, isn't this what we want? When it comes to parenting, don't we want to have our kids that they're going to honor us for all of their life? And see, this is certainly what Jesus did. See, parenting is a role that has seasons of change. That there's these different seasons of parenting. And what makes this really difficult is that we've got this regular season, and this lasts the longest for us as we get into this role of parenting. If we're blessed and fortunate enough, this off season lasts the longest. But while we're in this, it just seems like a really long and extended time, especially the more kids you have, it just keeps being longer and longer and longer before you finish your regular season of parenting. But while we're in this regular season of parenting, we never become convinced that we figured it all out and we know enough and that we would be able to do all that we would need to do. And then that season ends. And then we have our post-season where we're already trying to learn how to transition for this temporary stage. And then when off-season comes in, it's a new permanent stage that we need to get to with parenting. You know, for the first 18 or so years of parenting, that when it comes to our child, our job is to teach and to train them. That's what we're doing during these first 18 or so years. That we teach and train, we nurture them. As we teach them, we guide them, and we develop them. That's what we do. And when it comes to what we do with this development, that we're to develop them spiritually. We're to help to develop them emotionally, physically, academically. That we would be ones that would be involved in developing them. That it's during this regular season of parenting that what we end up doing over and over and over and over again is that we keep giving our kids unsolicited advice, right? Isn't that what we're doing? They're not soliciting it. They're not looking for it. And we keep telling them what they need to do and how they need to do it. And then we take time, we show them, because we just keep giving them this unsolicited advice during these years. And that's appropriate. That's what we should be doing. But when it gets to off season, this is where we have to make this transition. We have to make this change. You know, in past generations, things were different in the way that things worked as they moved into adulthood. That young adults, they'd graduate from high school and they'd either begin a career or they'd begin college. And they would move out. And as they would move out, they either had their job or they had their education and they were moved out and they were doing things on their own and they would start to get established and they'd start a family and at best they would come home to visit. But things have changed. That we live with a different dynamic now. That we're seeing more and more young adults come back and move home. And as we look at this, it's interesting. You know, when I looked at some of the statistics, research shows that 75% of college graduates move back home for a season. You know, and so what does that tell you? If you're not in off season yet, I'm giving you some wisdom here right now. So you just need to hear this and follow with me, okay? 75% are moving back home after they graduate from college for a season. You've got a very little window of opportunity to sell that house and for you to downsize, get rid of some bedrooms, and then when they graduate, oh, I wish we had room. We would love to, but if we had only known, we could have kept the house. You know, when we look at what's taking place and why this happens, there's several different reasons. That sometimes that reason is that they graduate from college, they even land the job, they start making good money, but they go, hey, mom, dad, can I just come home and move home for about 6 months? Because I'd really like to just kind of get everything established, get grounded. I'd like to save up enough, and I want to be able to be established with what I'm going to do. I want to be able to have my emergency fund in place before I ever go out there. And maybe that's why they're doing it. Some are doing it for that reason. There's some that end up not finishing college, whether it's because they flunked out and they ended up moving back home. Or whether it's because, you know, they're paying their own way and they just ran out of resource. And so now they're in this limbo, so they need to come home and earn some more money before they can go back to school. There's some that end up going and enlisting in the military. And after their first enlistment term is up, they're ready to be done with that military life. And so they come back home, transition back into the real world. There's some that they go off, they get married. And then that marriage, there's difficulty and there's problems. And then they end up moving back home for a season. Maybe they even move back home with another little bundle of joy. but they come back home. And we're seeing more and more and more that are coming back home during this off-season of parenting. That means that we get more time and more interaction with them than what previous generations have had for many, many years. And so what are we going to do with this opportunity? How do we make the most of it? How do we make sure that what we're doing during this off-season parenting is what's going to be best for the family dynamic, the family relationship, and what we've been striving for all along? How do we do that? And so when we think about that, I want us to look at this idea of these tips for a great relationship with your adult child. That I want us to look at this and see what this is and see just what this looks like. You know, when it comes to parenting, we never outgrow the need to be a good parent. That we're to be that good parent all the way through. That we want to be great parents even in the off season in that relational dynamic. So when I look at these tips for a great relationship with your adult child, here's the first tip. Adopt a guidepost mentality. That we would adopt this guidepost mentality. Because, see, our responsibility changes when our children become adults and they become independent and on their own. And that we need to adopt this guidepost mentality. So here's a way that I want to try to illustrate this for you. That we need to adopt this mentality. That we would be ones that we go, hey, we know, we're experienced, we've been around, and we know that it's a windy, dangerous road ahead. We know that. We know that you can't just keep going at the pace that you're going and still make that turn that's coming up. It's imminent that there's going to be a failure if you don't slow down. And so we've got to be this guidepost. We've got to be this one that says, hey, here's the warnings. Here we want you to know. Here's what's coming up. And see, this is a major transition for us. Because see, when we're in the regular season of parenting, we're not a guidepost. We have a totally different role when we're in the regular season of parenting. And when we're in the regular season of parenting, our role is to be a guardrail. That's what our role is in the regular season, is that we're a guardrail. And what does that mean? It means that we're going to be there, and we're going to be that buffer. We're going to hold tight. That when our kids start to do something that's going to be dangerous, that we're going to stop them. And it's times where we take the hits. We get kind of mangled up sometimes as parents, don't we? As we take on the hits of what our kids are trying to do, and we know, danger, 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 we have to stop you. And so we do, and we take the hits. Because we have to be that guardrail during the regular season. But by the time we get to this off season, we are no longer a guard rail. We're a guidepost. And because we're this guidepost, we need to actually put our guidepost sign. We need to be able to have that and communicate that. And we need to do it well before the curve is coming. Well before the winding roads, before they reach this point on their journey. And so we have to understand that we have to adopt this guidepost mentality. That before we get to the off season, when it comes to our role as parents over our kids, we are the commander in chief. But when it comes to the off season, we are no longer the commander in chief. We are the consultant in chief. We're consultants. And here's the thing that I know about consultants. Consultants are only around if you employ them. They're only around if they get invited. And so we have to understand what our role is and how this role changes. That we can still emotionally support them, we can verbally warn them, but we have to shift and change our role. And that we have to adopt this guidepost mentality. We transform from being a guardrail to a guidepost. Second tip is treat your grown children like friends. Treat your grown children like friends. That it's in this off season that we should finally get to where we would have a friendship with our kids. See, for us to try to have a friendship with them before this, it diminishes our role of authority in their life. And so during this regular season, we can't try to be their friends. In fact, here's what I've observed. I've observed that parents that try to focus on being a friend with their kids during the regular season of life end up forfeiting, more times than not, having a friendship with their adult kids. They end up forfeiting it because their kids don't respect them once they finally get to that adult stage, because they knew now at this adult life, as they look back and go, you should have been a guardrail. You should have been the one protecting me. You should have been preventing this. You should have been stepping up. You should have been living in your role. And when they get to be adults and they're out on their own and they discover that you weren't for them what they absolutely needed, it is hard to have that friendship then. But if what you do during these regular season years, if you take on this role of being a guardrail, and that you tell them no and you stop them at times, and then you get to this off season and you begin to interact with them like a friend, more times than not, they're going to make that transition with you. They're just going to happen because they have all the respect looking back in life and seeing that, you know what? There was plenty of times when, what did they tell you? I don't like you right now. Right? And they either say it to you or that you could just see it in their eyes. Sometimes both. But as a parent in that regular season, guess what? We have to be okay with that. It hurts, and we get mangled as that guardrail. But we know that our role is to be protecting them at that point. And so we take it. But then we must transition. We must transition as we get to this off season. You know, we tried something a few years ago with our kids, our family. And what we did, Cheryl and I decided that we were going to do family fun night twice a month. And so we put it on the calendar. We booked it. We told our kids and just plan for it, prepare for it. It didn't take long before our kids called it something a little different than what we called it. So we called it family fun night, but our kids added a word, and our kids called it forced family fun night. And that was just what it was for them. And it didn't last very long. But that was something we were attempting to do. But listen, if you'll do the regular season right, then you're going to be able to get to the off season, and you're truly going to get to have some family fun nights. And that's going to be because they want to be there, and they're having fun, and they're choosing to do this. And it's because we make sure that we get it right through all of the seasons, that we would adopt this mentality, this friendship relationship, where we get to brainstorm with them, we get to just discuss things like way friends would, that we've shifted from giving directions and giving directives to just having discussions, because we've made the transition. The third tip: keep your mouth shut and your door open. Yeah, nice and pleasant, right? To keep your mouth shut and your door open. What is this? If you're like me, you love the opportunity for unsolicited advice to your kids. Okay? And I'm going to have to make a big transition. My kids probably are even questioning whether I'll even be able to do it. That I'm going to have to make this big transition of moving from this unsolicited advice when we get to this off-season stage of life. So I keep my mouth shut, but I keep my door open. That I get to keep my door open to where they know they can come anytime they want. They can ask me anything, that we can have dialogue, they can get my opinion, they can say, here's what I'm thinking, what do you think, Dad? But I'm going to have to be okay with whatever they decide. That they can ask my opinion, but it's their choice to make with whatever they're going to choose to do. Because I'm going to keep my mouth shut until I'm asked, but I'm going to keep my door open so that they know they can come. Now, I'm going to have to decide how wide I want that door open, because I'm not sure I really want to move them back home. But definitely want to keep that door open. And that's what we would do when it comes to this. And it's interesting when we look at this and we see what's taking place here. Because here's a researcher. She researched with 70 families and found out of these families, of all of these ones that had their kids coming back home for a season. Her name is Jane Isay, and what she said was she had this book, and her book's titled Walking on Eggshells, Navigating the Delicate Relationship Between Adult Children and Parents. And in this book, she makes this big stated point of keep your mouth shut and your door open for your kids. That we just need to wait until we're asked for advice before we would offer it. That we would be parents in this off-season stage, that we would bite our tongue. Last tip, number four, establish boundary lines for helping. Establish these boundary lines for how you're going to help. You know, adult children can actually wreak more havoc on a marriage than what you see happening during regular season. And so we need to make sure that we establish healthy boundaries. And then when you ended up having a blended family, and you've got his parents, and you've got her parents, and they're different, and now they're adult children. Now you better make sure that you've established healthy boundaries with your spouse on what you're going to do and what you aren't going to do. Because if you don't do this, it's going to wreak havoc on your relationship with each other. And here's the thing. See, there's no secrets among the siblings. See, all the siblings, that they all know how things got distributed. They're keeping track of how much you helped who. They are. And when they see that you paid this much for their college, but you only paid this much for my college because I went to a cheaper school or I had a better scholarship, well, now that I'm out and on my own, you can make up for that and help me make this down payment on this house. Because I know how much you help them. And see, they're all keeping score. They're keeping track. And they know. And they're going to be coming to you in the name of fairness. And you've got to establish, what are these boundaries going to be? How are you going to establish them? And how are you going to live this out? Do we need to have boundaries? If you're a grandparent, what are you going to do with the boundaries of what you're going to do with your kids? And you need to even respect the boundaries that your adult children want you to have in their life when you become this grandparent. That we need to have boundaries for, are we going to give them financial assistance? We need to have these boundaries for, are we going to let them move back home? We need to know what these boundaries are going to be. You know, most experts, they recommend that you don't lend money to your adult children. If you're going to, then you must decide in advance which choice you're making. Is this a business transaction or is this a benevolence transaction? And you just need to know in advance, what kind of transaction am I making here? And if it's a benevolence one, it's easy. There you go. You're done. If it's a business one, then you better put it in writing. You better put it in writing and make sure that every party knows and understands what this is and what it's about. What are going to be the terms? Is there going to be an interest rate? You better put it all down and put it in writing. And don't trust that they're going to remember what you remember. But you need to decide what you're going to do. If your adult children are coming to you for help, sit down and talk. Let them know, I'm here to help. Let them know that you want to do what you can for them, that you've got an ear and you're going to listen. Let them know that you are willing to help, but your help might not look like the help that they're looking for. But be willing to have that conversation. Two more passages and then we're done. When I think about grandparenting, that this special role that gets to happen, and this kind of special connection that you get to have, and you don't get here until you get further along. Most people don't get here until the off season. You might not be in the off season when you get there. But when this happens, that you would make the most of it. And here we get to see in Proverbs, again, this book of wisdom, chapter 17, verse 6, says, grandchildren are the crowning glory of the aged. Parents are the pride of their children. Don't you want to be this parent in the off season, that you're the pride of your children? that you parented in such a way that they're going, I'm so proud of my parents. Don't you want that? You know, I grew up and my parents said to me quite often, I'm proud of you. Sometimes I was even like going, for what? But you know, there's been times that I've told my parents I'm proud of them. And as an adult child, for me to be able to express that to them, that's important. But look, grandchildren are the crowning glory of the aged. And that when you're a grandparent in your retirement years, and the kind of time that you have to be able to spend with your grandkids, and the way you get to pour into them, I've got a question for you to consider if you're already here, or for you to just write down and consider for when you get to the stage of grandparenting. And it's this question right here. What is the major impact and influence you want to have on your grandkids? What is the major impact and influence that you want to have on your grandchildren? Because you need to think through that. And once you identify what that is, now you've got to leverage the opportunity. Last passage, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. This word direct that we get from the New Living Translation, when we look at some other translations, it says train your child the way they should go, train them on the right path. When we look at this and we get into this original language, it helps us to see a little bit more about this. That when we get into the original language, it's something that tells us this. It says that what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to dedicate, as in dedicate our kids to God, and that we're supposed to discipline. That's what this is. When it says direct, what is it telling us? It's telling us to dedicate our kids to God, and then it's telling us what? It's telling us to discipline them. That's what it means to be able to direct them onto the right path. And that we do that during these regular season years of their life. And then when we get to the off season, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Make the most of the seasons of parenting. If you're preseason, make the most of this. Start looking, seeing, observing, and making note. What is it that you're looking for? What is it that you aspire to be as a parent? If it's in the regular season, make the most of this. This is a limited time opportunity that we have to be raising our kids. If it's in the postseason, it's making the most of this transitioning time as they blossom into their adulthood. And in this offseason, make the change that needs to be made and adopt this mentality that we're a guidepost, not a guardrail, but a guidepost. And let's make the most of the opportunity that God has given us with our families. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a God that in your wisdom and in your loving way, you chose to give us this dynamic of a family. God, while there might be some people in here right now that there's hurt and heartache when they think of family relationships and dynamics and parent-child relationships, God, I pray that you'd bring healing to that. And God, where there's not that hurt and pain and sorrow, and where there's fulfillment and joy and good relationship, God, I pray that you'd protect that. God, help us to where we would live out your instruction and be the best parents that we could be to the kids that you've blessed us with. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.